Hi there, a quick note before the episode begins. Did you know that Mija has her own audiobook with exclusive and brand new material? It's called Mija Podcast, the audiobook, an exclusive and never-before-heard collection of memoirs and reflections by her creator, Lori Martinez, about what it meant to turn her own migration story into a fiction series. When you get Ochenta's audiobooks, you're directly supporting our independent audio series productions. You can find it on Libro.fm, Apple Books, Google Play, Storytel, BookBeat, and on your favorite audiobooks app. Also available in Spanish and French.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Bienvenidos and welcome to Mija on the Mic, where me, Mija, interviews daughters of immigrants who are making moves in their industries around the world. Today, I'm so excited to invite podcast writer and, am I correct to say, poet? Because I saw you published a book of poetry. And podcaster, Heidi De La Cruz. Thank you so much for being here today.
No, thank you.
A lot of the time, I know my Mija guests ahead of time, but this is the first time we're chatting. So I would love for you just to kind of tell me about yourself and the Mija. What is your Mija culture?
So as you stated, Heidi De La Cruz here. I am a copywriter, podcaster, and poet. So I write poetry as well. And I am the host of the American Dream in the Eyes of Immigrants podcast, where I have immigrants come on and share their journey of coming to the United States. We talk about culture shocks that they experienced, how they navigated, you know, those first years of living here in the United States and things like that. And my mission with that podcast is to change the narrative of immigration to a more compassionate, empathetic way. You know, I say like a Jesus approach to educate and then also just provide a safe space for migrants to share their story. Because I realized like that part of their story is not talked about, like once they're here, like what happens, what they go through. So that's my podcast. And my Mija culture is I am a child of immigrants. My parents came from the Dominican Republic back in the 90s. I was born in New York, raised in Michigan, and I currently live now in Florida.
That's a long trip.
Yes.
I'm also from New York originally. I'm Colombian American myself. And so, and I just interviewed another Dominican Mija yesterday. So,
Oh, nice.
Yes. So I would love to kind of get a sense of, you know, you growing up, with your culture. How was it? Did you have kind of a sense of like you were between two worlds?
Oh, yes. Yes. So growing up in Michigan, there wasn't a lot of Dominicans. Now there's more. But when I was growing up, there wasn't that many. There's a lot more Mexicans in Michigan. So as soon as you start speaking Spanish, people automatically think that you are Mexican. So just having to educate people that Mexico is not the only Spanish-speaking country, you know, educate where the Dominican Republic is and things like that. And yes, navigating two cultures, like, you know, our Independence Day is in February. And in February in Michigan, it is very, very cold and snowy and things like that. So it's like, usually Dominicans have a big party, parades and things like that. So like, we were able to celebrate, but it was like mostly indoors. Like if you wanted to have like a parade, it would be like in below zero weather, which is no fun. And just like trying to learn of like my Dominican culture while then also embracing the American culture. Like there was some things that like my friends didn't understand of why we did certain things or why I wasn't allowed to do certain things. So for example, my best friend struggled with understanding why my parents wouldn't allow me to do sleepovers. You know, like that's not common in, you know, the Dominican culture. So I wouldn't be able to do that. They found that my dad was like very strict. I feel like now that I'm older and I have my own kids, I feel like it was just his way of being protective, you know? And it could have been just his own fears of just, you know, being in this country and not knowing people and things like that. So there was just, it was just a lot of, I feel like a lot of educating that I had to do to my friends, and then educating myself too. Cause since I didn't grow up in the Dominican Republic, it was just like hearing stories from my family, and their friends, or visiting, like, you know, I've visited a lot when I was younger. So just kind of like, wow, things are completely different in the Dominican Republic as they are here in the United States. Like there's just, yeah, growing up, I was definitely with that in between two cultures. I'm not Dominican enough, but then I'm not too Dominican for my American friends, and then too American for like my Dominican family. So it was just like that struggle of in between.
So what feels the most like home to you?
Oh, the food, I think, is what feels most at home. It's just like even though the food in the Dominican Republic is completely different than what it is here, but just trying to like keep the same dishes here and everything like that makes me feel at home. Like, for example, yes, I'm Dominican American, grew up, you know, with immigrant parents. My husband is immigrant. He grew up in the Dominican Republic, but we mostly cook Dominican food at home, you know, like arroz, habichuela, you know, the meat and everything. So we try to keep that, and then, you know, trying to get my daughter to like, you know, be used to that and everything. So that's what feels at home. It's the food.
What role does language play in your kind of understanding of that? Now, one generation out, your kid is even more American than you were when you were coming up. So how does that kind of translate in language?
So I struggle, to be completely honest, to speaking to my daughter in Spanish. And like when she was younger, I was living with my parents for her first 3 years. And so like my grandma was there, and my grandma would take care of my daughter when I was at work. So obviously my grandma only spoke to her in Spanish, and then I would speak to her in Spanish too. But as she got older and started going to school and learning English, I realized that like explaining things to her when she's asking questions like why this or why that, it was easier for me to explain it in English than it was in Spanish. So like now she understands Spanish, and she speaks it when she goes to the Dominican Republic to visit her dad. But when she's home, I'm trying to get her like, okay, you need to speak Spanish because I don't want you to lose it. And then so like it's been a struggle back and forth. And even between me and my husband, like I try to tell him like, okay, we need to speak more Spanish. So then like my son, who's a year and a half, can pick it up as well. So yeah, language has definitely been a thing. And because, you know, my parents only speak Spanish. So like when she sees my parents or grandparents, like it's only Spanish. So you can hear that accent when she's trying to speak Spanish, or she'll ask me like, how do you say this and how do you say that? So I'm like, we need to get better at that. So it's a struggle over here.
Yeah, everyone that I've talked to so far about the kind of questioning around language is always kind of associating it with either kind of shame that you're not able to speak it so much, or, you know, frustrated that you can't use it, or really kind of depending on your parents' relationship with the language and how they might have been ostracized for speaking it. They might not have even taught you at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, now that you're in the position to teach your daughter, it's really beautiful that you're kind of really pushing towards, yeah, I want you to be proud that you speak Spanish. That's because we're at that stage, I guess. It feels like daughters of immigrants, when they have their own kids, they're like, no, but I want you to be proud. Does that resonate?
Yeah. Like keep the culture, because you're right. Like the more, like she's more American than I am. And so it's kind of like more far removed from the home culture. So it's like, I want her to keep that and pass that on to her kids if she has kids, you know. And the good thing is that she does go to the Dominican Republic in the summer, so she's embraced in the culture. But I don't know if her kids will have that opportunity, you know. So it's just like we're getting further and further, and it's like I don't want us to lose our roots, I don't want us to lose our culture and our customs too.
Yeah, it's the big fear, no? Like, because we've integrated at this point, so many second generation kids are now integrating society to the point where we're working white collar jobs, and we can kind of be okay financially to the point where we have our own families, and we're kind of asking these questions and like, what is the, you know, you get to have the privilege to even ask, can my kid speak Spanish? Can I make it so that they can?
Yeah.
And so that's amazing that you even have the, you know, you can send your daughter back and you can have that kind of relationship with your home country. So I would like to get into your podcast. So tell me about how you started the show. What inspired you? Was there like a moment where you're like, no, I should make a podcast? Like, this is just, we have to stop just talking about this like this. I need a microphone. What was the thing that kind of triggered that?
Yes. So God put it in my heart to start a podcast in 2019. So I just got that tug, like, oh, I want to start a podcast. I like having thoughtful in conversations, like deep conversations. I like knowing like the opinions and perspective of other people. So what I wanted to start the podcast as, it was just going to be me and a friend, and we were going to talk about kind of like just what they're doing in their life and highlighting the good things that they're doing in their life. Because I feel like also a lot of people don't celebrate themselves, right? They just like move on like through their life, and they don't really realize what big or what impact they're having on other people. So I wanted to highlight that. And then I was kind of torn in between that or like just having a podcast, me and a friend come on and just talk about like different topics that were going on at the time. So like to get different perspectives and things like that. So I have those healthy debates or healthy conversations, right? Like to, you know, expand. So 2020, we already know the world shut down. So, and I was finishing up my master's. So I was like, I can't do it this year. 2021, I ended up getting pregnant with my son and I had a rough pregnancy. So I was like, I can't focus on that. I had to focus on my health. So finally 2022, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I've been wanting to do this for a few years now. So I literally started Googling how to start a podcast. And so like I was searching like how to start it, what hosting site to use and everything. And since I'm a writer, I write on the website Medium. And so one day I was like, you know, reading articles and putting comments. And I came across an article from this woman who had migrated from Kenya. And the article, she wrote about how each cultural shock that she experienced here in the United States really diminished her confidence. So it really kind of like tore her down, just these experiences that she was having here. And it really touched me. So I was like, wow, like no one talks about that. No one talks about what the migrants experience once they get here. You know, the challenges, the just navigating people helping them, people not helping them, you know. So after I read the article, I spoke with my husband and I asked him, I was like, hey, how do you remember how you felt when you first arrived to the United States? He was 9 years old. And to this day, he vividly remembers how he was feeling, what he saw. So he told me like all of that. And I was just thinking, I was like, that's a podcast episode right there. Like just him explaining his story, how he felt, what he saw. And so that's where I was like, okay, this is what I want my podcast to be, just because I don't see that this is talked about. And also just, you know, like I said earlier, just to change the narrative of immigration, because what we see on the news or media and things like that are usually biased opinions and views on immigration. We don't get the facts. We don't get what is actually going on with these people. So that's how the podcast was born. I've met some really incredible people on doing this podcast, entrepreneurs, lawyers, investors. So I've loved that, to be able to highlight that as well, like not just their story, but then also like what they're doing today.
You know, that's also what kind of inspired me to start Miha. So, you know, if you haven't had a chance to check out the show, the first season of Miha is kind of inspired by my own immigration journey with my family from Colombia to New York. And it tells the story of how each member of the family is affected by that switch. So the mother and the father arrive in New York, how the first generation kids born in the US basically experience that kind of dual culture, the grandparents that are still in the country, how do they feel about it? And so we did that, you know, with a couple of different Mijas in the different seasons. And kind of fictionalized it because, you know, we tell stories about our journeys. And of course, it's not the difficult parts, right? We try to kind of tell a novella kind of story, like everything works out in the end. And, you know, todos están felices. But it's so much harder. And I really appreciate that your show kind of talks about the difficulties of it, of talks about, you know, these challenges that immigrants face when they arrive in a new country. It takes years, decades to feel like you are now part of this culture, right? And even if you're born in the US and you have this origin that is foreign, you might not necessarily feel part of the culture yet, because you might not necessarily say, oh, I'm American like that. I'm something else. I'm more. I would love to know if there's anything that you kind of were surprised by in talking to your guests. If there's something that you were taken aback by, a story that, you know, really spoke to you.
So what I've realized is talking to people from different cultures is that we are more alike than what we are different. stories that have been just taking me aback, I would have to say, is one of my guests, you know, shared her journey of being a DACA recipient. And we cried. I'm not a crier. It takes a lot for me to cry. But I got so teary-eyed in that episode. And obviously she did too with her journey. And yeah, it was just very emotional. So it's just some of them just really touched my heart. Just because, again, we just don't know what people are going through unless we actually ask and are actually like, you know, hey, I want to know your story. I want to know, you know, what's going on and things like that. So
I'm curious about all of your guests talking about the American dream, because it means a lot of different things to different people. And some people achieve it, some people don't, some people don't think it's real. So I would love to hear what your thoughts are on the American dream and how yourself you've been able to experience it.
So I just recently started asking my guests, like, what does the American dream mean to you? How do you think the American dream differs between migrants and non-migrants? And the most recent guest that I interviewed, she was just mentioning how, like, immigrants appreciate it more than non-immigrants because, you know, when you have privilege and when you have, you know, things that are easy, not easy, but like efficient, right? There's a lot of things in the United States that is, it makes our life easier than in other countries. And so she's like, when you have that always, you don't really realize that is a privilege or that it's easier for you than it, other people. So she's like, it just seems like immigrants appreciate it more just because they have to move and come to a different country to, you know, be able to obtain that. As vice versa, for somebody who's born here, a lot of them don't really take advantage of the opportunities that are presented here in the United States and things like that. So it's definitely, I feel like it definitely differs between the two. I'm not saying that it's easier for non-immigrants, because obviously people who are born here, they have struggles, they have challenges. Life is hard for everybody. The thing is, when migrants come, they're learning a new language, they're learning a new culture. They're literally starting over from scratch, from nothing. Some of them don't know anybody who's lived here, right? So they have to, you know, create a new community, step out their comfort zone to meet people and seek help and things like that. But I definitely see, I can see both sides. One, I was born here, so it's like I've seen the privilege that we have here versus in the Dominican Republic, but it's like also a struggle because it's like my parents came to this country, like they had to learn how to navigate and things like that. So there's been, you know, different answers, very beautiful answers. And I just love how much my guests appreciate, you know, living here. And they don't take that for granted at all.
Yeah. They say immigrants are the most patriotic people, regardless of what country you're in. Because I was just talking to a French daughter of immigrants, and she said the same thing. It's like we're all seeking this dream of being okay in this kind of Western country.
Yeah.
So I would like to talk about, you know, who in your family has inspired you the most? Because our families are so much of who we are, especially when we're daughters of immigrants. And, you know, they're the ones that pass on their culture and all of that. So I would love to know, you know, who is the one that inspires you?
Oh, that's a good question. I feel like it would have to be my aunt. She's more like a sister to me. We're like 6 years apart. And we talk every day. And she is definitely an inspiration, just like how her heart is just so pure. Like everything that she does is just with such pure intentions. And so she definitely inspires me to like be a better person, help more, and just have, you know, just that pure intention, like there's no hidden agenda or anything like that. So she is definitely my biggest inspiration.
That's amazing. So I would love to talk about, you know, you as a kid growing up, if you can kind of transport our listeners back to your cultural experience as a kid, maybe a memory that you have with your family in some way that kind of brings us to and really defines who you are.
My best memories, I feel like, have always been like Christmas time. Just because for us in our culture, it's so big. Like we celebrate Christmas like in November, starting in November until like January. And so just like being able to, you know, get the presents from under the tree. But just like how it's such a party, like it's literally like a party for us every day. And then we celebrate Christmas, Noche Buena, which is on the 24th instead of the 25th. So it's like, for us, it's like, for me growing up, it was different from, you know, my friends, because they obviously celebrate on the 25th. And it's like, oh, no, we already ate and, you know, did all the presents and everything on the 24th. And also spending Christmas in the Dominican Republic a few years. Oh, that was amazing. I learned a lot about, like, the traditions, food and drinks, and that parade that they do is called Aguinaldo, where, like, they go around in the neighborhood, like, with cars, and, like, they blasting music, Christmas music, dancing on the streets and everything. And it's just, like, at 3 a.m. So I, like, vividly remember I was staying with my cousin, and then, like, my dad came knocking on the door at 2 a.m. and he's like, get ready. And I'm like, for what? And he's like, we're going out. I was like, where are we going? He's like, to the streets. And I'm like, I was so confused. I was like, what? And so we go, me and my cousin get ready. We go outside, and there's like a line of like 15 cars blasting music. And he's like, get in the car. So we're just driving around the neighborhood, and then like the neighbors come out, they give you drinks or they give you food, or they just come out and dance and things like that. And that went on until like sunrise. And that's literally like the best memory I've had in the Dominican Republic at Christmas time, because it was so much fun. I've never seen so much crazy Dominicans just out in the streets at 3 a.m. And even my dad, I was just like so surprised, because my dad is a completely different person in the Dominican Republic than what he is here. Like, he is like so much more relaxed, so much more like just himself, I guess. And it's probably just because he's home, you know, like that's all, that will always be home to him. So like just seeing him so happy and just loving and living life in that moment, it was just so amazing. So Christmas, I just have to say, Christmas is like the best memories that I have growing up. And I want to provide that also to my kids. Like I try to make Christmas time as happy and magical as possible. And not just like with the presents. It's also like I try to do like a lot of experiences, like try to take them out to do Christmas stuff around here. And, you know, try to keep the Dominican culture, Christmas Dominican culture in them too. So
that's amazing. All right, so we're coming to the end, and what we do with all of our Mija guests is that we ask, like, you know, a few quick questions, like speed round kind of thing.
Okay.
So, what language do you swear in when you accidentally touch a hot plate?
Spanish.
What's your favorite food?
Ooh, tacos.
What's the song you've had in your head this week?
See, now I can't even remember it. Don't worry, be happy.
Okay.
It was from a commercial. It keeps playing. So we're like, me and my husband are like always singing, don't worry. Yeah.
What's your last Google search that you're comfortable sharing?
What was I searching? It has something to do with podcasting, because I've been doing a lot of research on podcasting lately.
Okay. What is your most embarrassing dream that you had as a little girl? You know, imagining who you're going to be when you grow up. What was like your embarrassing dream that you were like, I can do anything?
At one point I was going to be an air traffic controller.
What? That's so specific.
I know. I took a personality test, and like that was one of the top careers. And I was like, okay, let's do that. And then I was like, no, what was I thinking?
And finally, what is your biggest dream now? Like something that you really want to hope to accomplish in the next few years' life?
Yes. So I really want to expand my podcast. I'm starting to include videos this year, which I'm super, super excited about. But my dream is to have my own podcast studio where I can have guests come and do in-person interviews. Either if they can't come, then I'll travel to them. That's a big dream of mine. And then I want to write 2 more books. One is about immigration. I want to write about, include some of the stories, include the history of immigration, and then kind of just share my own journey. And then also my therapist told me that I should write a memoir for, you know, things that I went through in my early 20s. So those are like my big, big dreams right now.
Beautiful. All right. Thank you so much for your time. Last thing, we ask for everyone to kind of give other daughters of immigrants a piece of advice in telling their story. So what is your advice for girls who are scared to take the leap and start, you know, talking about these kind of questions?
I would say that your story matters and your voice matters. It happened for a reason. And with you getting that courage to share, you will not know how many people will actually needed to listen to your story, needed to hear your voice, and can resonate with you and connect with you until you share it. So I definitely encourage everyone who's like defense about it, just to share. You'll be surprised at how many people can actually relate and connect with you.
Beautiful. Now, where can we find you? What's the name of your poetry book? Tell us everything.
So I hang out on Instagram. My handle is my name, Heidi, H-E-I-D-Y, period, De La Cruz, D-E-L-A-C-R-U-Z, 13. And my book is called Words from the Heart, and it is available at Barnes & Noble online.
Amazing. And the podcast is available on all the apps.
Wherever you listen to your podcast, you'll find it there.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. This is Miha on the Mic, a season of reflection on our shared experiences as daughters of immigrants. Over the next couple of weeks, I'll be sharing stories like these and inviting guests to share theirs. Follow us on Instagram at Miha Podcast, that's M-I-J-A Podcast, and leave us a note if you like this story. Tune in every Wednesday for a new episode. This is a production of Studio Ochenta, a Latina-owned multilingual podcast studio dedicated to raising voices across cultures. For more from Studio Ochenta, follow us at Ochenta Podcasts on Instagram. That's O-C-H-E-N-T-A Podcast with an S on Instagram. P.S. Don't forget, this season is also about you. If you have a story you'd like to share, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, I invite you to reach out on Instagram at Miha Podcast and leave us a message with a short story or memory of yours that warms your heart. We'll read it out loud on the show. Hasta pronto. Ciao.
Did you know that Miha has her own audiobook with exclusive and brand new material? It's called Miha Podcast, the audiobook, an exclusive and never-before-heard collection of memoirs and reflections by her creator, Lori Martinez, about what it meant to turn her own migration story into a fiction series. When you get Ochenta's audiobooks, you're directly supporting our independent audio series productions. You can find it on Libro.fm, Apple Books, Google Play, Storytel, BookBeat, and on your favorite audiobooks app. Also available in Spanish and French.